Morning, everyone. Today's daf and gittin is Pei Zayin. We are on Pei Vav Amud Beis. Thank the Lupin Foundation for sponsorship of the daf. As long as Zechon Ishmat Liba, Gabriella, Bas, Shmuel. We are in the middle of a discussion between Rav and Shmuel. Let's just quickly review the Mishnah on the bottom of Pei Vav Amud Aleph. Not the bottom. Mishnah in the middle, Pei Vav Amud Aleph, the only mission that exists on that Amud, discusses the three gittin, which are psulim. Psulim meaning that really fundamentally they're good, the get is good. It's just that because of a chashash to Rabbanan and rabbinic various rabbinic concerns, so therefore they shouldn't be used. But you know they're good, and the Mishnah says is that the best litmus test to tell you that they're good is that if a woman remarries on the basis of this get and she has children, the children will not be mamzerim. Because fundamentally she is a divorced woman, and the second marriage is a legitimate marriage, and the children that come out of that second marriage are in fact ksherim. That is what we learned in the Mishnah. The three examples, the three cases of the gittin psulim. So they are one where the husband himself wrote the get, no witnesses signed on the get. Two is where there was no date on the document. Three, there was a date on the document, but only one witness signed on it. Now that third case over there is a little controversial. What is exactly that scenario where there was where you had one witness signed on the bottom? One witness is not enough. You need two witnesses signing on the bottom. So on that, we have a machlokas between Rav and Shmuel, and that's what we saw yesterday. So I was just going to pick it up again on the bottom page of Amud Aleph. I know we did this already, but let me just quickly reread just to get us back into the discussion. So the Gemara quotes Rav, and Rav says, Ksav Yado. He, the husband himself, wrote the get. So Ahaya, the Gemara says, Ilam Resha Pshita, Ksav Yado Ketani, can't be going on the Resha because it's obvious. Ve'elam Tziyasar, Yesha Allah Ve'edim. So the Gemara says, it can't be going on the middle case because in the middle case there are witnesses. So Ella Seifa. So it must be talking about the last case. Yesh Bozman, Vein Bo, Ella Eda Echad. So it must be talking about the last case. Meaning the way that Rav sets up the last case of the Mishnah is where the husband himself writes the get. And one witness signs on the bottom. Rashi addresses the issue. I went over this Rashi yesterday, but let's say it again. Rashi addresses the issue. If I have the first case, I don't need the third case. The first case is telling me that the husband writes in, there are no witnesses, and the Mishnah says that fundamentally it's fine. It's psulim midrabbanan, but fundamentally it's fine. If that's fine, and there are zero witnesses, so if there's one witness for sure, it's fine. What is the Mishnah teaching us now with that third case? So Rashi asks that question, Rashi answers, I might have thought that if there's one witness on the bottom, that's the bet, it's better. A little bit better, but that's better. And maybe lechatchila she should marry with this get. So the Mishnah is coming to tell me that no, that not that, that only b'di'evan, not lechatchila. Okay. V'dafka ksad yado v'eid. Ava ksav sofer v'eid lo. Now Rav says, now what if it's ksav sofer and eid? In other words, what if, let's say, you have the sofer together with one witness? So Rav would say that's no good. Now Ushmul amar fil ksav sofer v'eid. Shmuel says no. The pshat in the Mishnah in the last case is a sofer and one witness signing on the bottom. And the sofer is basically going to double as not only the scribe of the get, but also he's going to be bearing witness to that which is written on the get. And it's easy for him to bear witness considering the fact that he wrote it. So the Ushmul Amar Filu Ksav Sofer Ve'ed. Shari Shaninu Ksav Sofer Ve'ed Kosher. So the, and in fact, Shmuel says, I'm going to give you an excellent support to my position. Because we're going to learn, it's coming up on today's daf, but we're probably going to get to it tomorrow. We're going to learn that Ksav Sofer together with the aid equals two. Meaning the Sofer plus one aid, one plus one equals two. And that would be fine. Now, Ksav Sofer Ve'ed Kosher V'Rav. Now, as far as Rav is concerned, me dummy. Rav says you really can't compare the Mishnah that we're learning right now and the Mishnah that's coming up on today's Daf Amud Beis. So, how some Tinas Lechatchila over there? That is a legitimate get, 100% legitimate get. But Hacha the Evid. But over here, we're talking about gittin that are not legitimate. Gittin that are highly suspect and questionable. I don't really mean highly. I'm going to take back the word highly. They are suspect and questionable. Now, I take the word back, word highly, because you know that if she remarries on the basis of the get, the children are ksherim. But anyway, but Rav says, I can't tell, he can't compare the Mishnah on Pei Zayin Amud Beis to the Mishnah on Pei Vav Amud Aleph, because there are different ramifications. Ushmuel Okasha, Habisafra Demuvak, Habisafra Delomuvak. So the Gemara says, no, Shmuel will tell you very simple. The Mishnah coming up on the end of today's daf, so that's talking about where the Sofer's Muvak. He's an expert. He knows that he will only count as a witness if he was commissioned by the husband. And he'll tell you that, yes, I'm writing the sofer, I'm writing the get. I'm also bearing testimony to the get because I was commissioned by the sofer. Our Mishnah, however, where it's the same scenario but not the same conclusion, is because the sofer is an eino muvak. He doesn't know. He doesn't know the halachas of when you can bear testimony, when you can't bear testimony. That's the difference. V'chein, and here we go. Amar Rav Yochanan, Amar Le Rav Elazar, Hari Yesh Alav Edim. I'm sorry. So the idea that there are witnesses is going on the latter case of the Mishnah. Zimnan Amar Rav Teitzei, Zimnan Amar Rav Lo Teitzei. Now, sometimes Rav is of the opinion that we're going to encourage a divorce. Sometimes Rav is of the opinion that we're not going to encourage a divorce on the basis of a woman getting remarried where there was only one witness signed on the bottom. So HaKeitzad Yesh Labanim Lo Teitzei and Labanim Teitzei. And the distinction is going to be when there is or there isn't children. If there are children, so we do not want any shame abzeris on the children. If the chachamim are going to require divorce between this woman and her second husband after they have children, people are going to suggest that the children are mamzerim. If, however, there are no children, so then the chachamim are going to push and try to get the two of them to divorce because the get is a suspicious get. Masiv, this is where we got to yesterday. Masiv Marzucha Baratuvia Vakulan Shayubam Suffic Kedushin or Suffic Gerishin Hare Elu Chotzos Velomis Yavmos. This takes us back to Yavamos. 15 women in the beginning of the Masechta who are Arayos, who are related to their brother-in-law, aside from just being the sister-in-law. In addition to being the sister-in-law, they're also related in other ways. The simplest example would be where, let's say, Reuven marries his niece, Reuven dies, and now the niece falls to her father for the mitzvah of Yibum. So her father is both her father and also her brother-in-law, meaning her husband's brother. So so if it was just brother-in-law, there'd be a mitzvah of Yibum. But the fact now that there's an erva on top of that, so that would... that would create now an iser of doing the mitzvah of Yibum. She's putter from doing the mitzvah of Yibum. The co-wives also are putter from doing the mitzvah of Yibum as well. That's the ABCs. That's the basics of the beginning of Masechta Yavamos. Now, the Mishnah later on, this is the Mishnah a month into Yavamos. I'm talking in Daf Yomi time. So a month into the Masechta, V'kulon Chayubam Safei Kiddushin or Safei Gerushin Harei Elu Choltzos V'lomis Yavamos. Now, what if, let's say, the Erva in question did not have a legitimate marriage or a legitimate divorce, but questionable marriage, questionable divorce? What are the co-wives going to do? They may or may not be exempt from the mitzvah of Yibum. So, anytime we don't know, Chalitza. Chalitza is going to be the fail-safe. It'll be the way of exiting a possible Yibum circumstance, because if there was Yibum, Chalitza will take care of it. If there was no Yibum requirement, so then Chalitza is just a funny ceremony that we're doing. So the Gemara says, Ketzad, Safek Kedushin, Zarek, I'm sorry. So give me examples, says the Mishnah over there, of Safek Kedushin. Zarek La Kedushin, Safek Karav Law, Safek Karav Law. The classic scenario, which we've discussed a number of times already recently, where he throws her the cast of Kedushin. It lands somewhere between him and her, and we don't know. Zeo Safek Kedushin, Safek Gerushin. Now, what's an example of Safek Gerushin? This is the Mishnah Yavamos. And it says, Kasabik Sav Yadav, Ein Alav Edim. Yeshalav Edim Ve'in Bo Zman. Yeshmo Zman Ve'in Bo Ela Eid Achad. Harezeh Safik Gerushin. All the examples that we just articulated in our Mishnah are examples of Safik Gerushin. Via Marlo Teitzei. Say Safik Kovlev. It could be, right. That could be another. Yeah, you're right. But the Mishnah over there gave the examples of our Mishnah. So the Gemara says, Ia Marlo Teitzei. So the Gemara says, now let's consider. What if the halacha was Lo Teitzei? Meaning, a woman remarries on the basis of such gerushin. We say that under certain circumstances, lo teitzei. You don't have to get a divorce. So now, tzarasa, asa liyivumi. So the Gemara says, now what's going to happen? So the co-wife is going to think that, hey, wait a second. She got remarried on the basis of this questionable get. And the chachamim are not intervening. and the Chachamim are acknowledging the marriage as a marriage. It must be that the divorce was a divorce. It must now mean that at the time of the death of our husband, she wasn't a co-wife. Oh, so let's do the mitzvah of Yibum. And the Gemara says, aren't you worried that they're going to do the mitzvah of Yibum? So the Gemara says, okay, and they do the mitzvah of Yibum. Tis yabeim ve'im b'kachlum. Chshasha derabanan hi. So the Gemara says, and let's even imagine they do Yibum. Okay, it's fine, because as we've said since the beginning of yesterday, now the Gemara is saying it very clearly right now. When we are saying these cases of gittin are quote unquote questionable, they're not really questionable. Fundamentally, they are good gittin. All these examples. It just happens to be that a chashash de rabbanan, where the rabbis disqualify the get. But fundamentally, it's a good get. A woman remarries on the basis of the get. The second marriage is validated. The Chachamim, under certain circumstances, they're not going to intervene. According to Rav, once there's children, the Chachamim are not going to intervene and not going to break up the marriage. And if the co-wives at that point in time do the mitzvah of Yibum, that's fine, because they're not her co-wife. She was divorced. The Gemara says it's not. It wouldn't be so bad if the co-wife did Yibum. Levi Amar La'olam Lo Teitzei. And here we go now, a string of Amarayim all going to take issue on if a woman gets remarried on the basis of the gittin described in our Mishnah. So should the Chachamim intervene and break up the second marriage? Levi Amar La'olam Lo Teitzei V'chein Amar Rav Yochanan La'olam Lo Teitzei V'chein Amar Luhu Rav Yochanan Levnei Rav Chalavta. The minhuna, hachi amar avuchan la'olam lo teitzei. So a number of amoraim are of the opinion that if she remarries on the basis of the get, the chachamim will not intervene and separate the two. And as long as we're on the subject, and when I say on the subject, that is dripping sarcasm, that we're not on the subject, but kartish sheba amar ein apostels b'mechatas. And also just one other piece of Torah, and that is that there's a certain... there's a certain bug where if that bug were to drink the mechatas, it doesn't disqualify the mechatas. Mechatas of water that's used together with the ashes of the paraduma in order to create tahara for tumas ames. So the water has to be maim chayim. It has to be spring water. And the spring water also cannot have been recycled water. I'm not using the term super literally over here. I'm just giving an idea, a sense of the water has to be fresh from the spring. And if the animal drank the water and then spat it back out again, aside from the fact that it's a little disgusting, it's pasul for use of mechatas. So the Gemara says that certain bugs, certain insects, and certain birds, when they drink from the water, do not disqualify the water. So the Gemara says, "My kartis amar Abaye divdata debeni kipi." Okay, so the Gemara gives another description to describe this kind of insect. Okay, if it helps you, that's great. Meitzer Rav Daniel Bar Kitina kol haofas posel b'mechatas chutz m'niyonim and meishem motzetzes. So the Gemara quotes now a Mishnah from Parah. The Mishnah from Parah says, and generally speaking, when you have birds drinking from the spring water, they disqualify the spring water, except for the yonah. The yonah will not disqualify. V'imisa nisne chutz m'niyonim v'kartis. So the Gemara says, now if you took Rav Yochanan's statement seriously, which you should, but how come the Mishnah doesn't include kartis as another type of insect which does not disqualify the mechatas? Gemara says lo psikale de gedola lo pasla v'ktana pasla. So the Gemara says, because when it comes to the kartzis, some do disqualify and some don't disqualify. The larger one does not disqualify. The smaller one disqualifies. Va'ad kama? Gemara says, and where's the threshold that separates big from small? Rav Yirmi avitim ravami ad kezayis, when the bird has arrived at the volume of a kezayis. Why the Gemara after, obviously this is a tangent from our discussion of getting psulim, but why is it that these birds, the insects, are going to render the mechatas pasul? So the Rashi over here writes, the Gemara doesn't mention a word about why. Gemara just leaves that to, you should know. So Rashi over here writes, "Mibnei shemotzetzes ve'eino machzeres mimayin shebepi alachzor ulatafte besocha kli." So Rashi says that some insects, when they drink and no regurgitation. It doesn't go in their mouth, back into the kli. And what would be so bad about it going the water going into the mouth back into the kli? Rashi writes, "Did not hasam shasusam mehem behema chayv alf psulim mimnei shemakiyam mipeim lasocham ukvar batlu b'fiyam mitoras mechatas." Once in the mouth of an animal, it no longer qualifies as mechatas. So if it goes in the mouth and it goes back in, it's now disqualified from mechatas. And that's why, says Rashi, any animal that where the nature of the animal is that it drinks and then spits it back out after it goes into the mouth, will pasul the mechatas. Any bird slash insect that's identified that doesn't send it back out, but whatever it ingests, and the rest is left alone, so will not pasul the mechatas.
That's why a donkey doesn't drink from the trough of a cow.
I'm gonna trust you. Ralph is nodding his head. He's Ralph. Okay. 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 Let's continue. Rabbi Lazar Omer Afa Pipachulei. Amar Rabbi Yehuda Amar Rabbi Lachika Rabbi Lazar Begitin. Okay, on this very traditional machlokas, traditional meaning that we have seen this time and again throughout our Masechta in terms of whether the Eidah Mesira Kares or whether the Eidah Chasima Kares. So who does Halacha follow? I can remember in our Mishnah we learned that according to Rabbi Lazar, you don't need witnesses signing on the document as long as there are Eidah Mesira. So they are the ones who give the effectiveness, the validity to the document. And Rav Elazar's position is not limited to Gitei Nashim. Rav Elazar's position is expansive. It applies to any document. The force of any document is going to be instrumental in the Eidei Mesira, not the Eidei Chasima. To which the Gemara says, Rav Yehuda says in the name of Rav, the Halach is like Rav Elazar when it comes to Gitin. Which sounds like it's a limited psak. Now the key Amrisa coming to Shmuel Amar Af Bisharos. So Shmuel says, that's not true. The halacha is like Rav Elazar, and Rav Elazar is like Rav Elazar universally, even by regular shtaros. V'rav sav Rav Bisharos lo hakatani v'gov minachas meshubadim. So the Gemara says, wait one second. What about our Mishnah? Our Mishnah says that you can collect from encumbered properties as long as the note is handed over from Malva to Lova in front of, other way around, from Lova to Malva in front of witnesses. Our Mishnah clearly is expanding Rav Elazar's din to not just Gitei Nashim, but to also Shtaros as well. Rav Elazar Tarti Amar V'Rav Sofer Kavasa Bechadah Palagala Bechadah. So the Gemara says very simply, you're right. Rav Elazar's position is that Eidei Mesira are good for both Gitei Nashim and for Shtaros. Rav only possums like Rav Elazar by Gitei Nashim. V'chein Amar Rav Yochanan Bar Idi Amar Rav Yeshua Melev Alachik Rav Elazar Begitin. Rav Yana Amar Afilu Reich Haget Ein Bo. So the Gemara here once again quotes a range of positions amongst the Amoraim, whether the Halacha is like Rav Elazar. The Gemara quotes Rav Yanai, it doesn't even have a Reich Haget. Rav Yanai Leisle the Rav Elazar Hachi Kamar LeRabbanan Afilu Reich Haget Ein Bo. So the Gemara says no. Rav Yanai does not mean to refute the position of Rav Elazar. The Rav Yanai is just in the world of the yeshiva, in the learning. So he says that the Chachamim so much disagree with Rav Elazar that if all you have is Eidei Mesira and you don't have Eidei Chasima, it's nothing. It is not a get. It doesn't even have a reach a get. It is simply nothing. V'chein am Rav Yosi bar Bechenin, am Reish Lakish, halachik Rav Elazar begitin, Rav Yochanan am Afilu reach a get ein bo. So once again, the Rav Yochanan is quoted as saying that it doesn't even have a reach a get. Rav Yochanan leisle de Rav Elazar. So once again, is Rav Yochanan refuting, not refuting, but disagreeing with Rav Elazar? Hachi kamar l'Rabban Afilu reach a get ein bo. Once again, the Gemara says no. What Rav Yochanan just simply means is that when you're in the base measure and you're learning the shita of those who argue with Rav Elazar, which we'll call Rabbi Meir, although if you remember yesterday's daf, there may be a third Tana. But the in the base measure, all Rav Yochanan is saying is that if you argue with Rav Elazar, if there are no signatures on the bottom of the document, it's nothing. It's not even a reach haget. Shach le Rabbi Abba bar Zabda Lamar bar Lamar bar Mar by me name Rav Huna halachik Rav Elazar begitin. Oh, ain halacha. So, question: does the halacha fall like Rav Elazar when it comes to get? Is Eidei Mesira Kores? Adahachi Nach Nafshei Rav Huna. Unfortunately, Rav Huna passed away. Amalei Rabba Brei, Hachi Amar Abba Mishmei de Rava. So now his son is going to say the psak over that he heard the name of his father, which is Halachik Rav Lazar Begitin. That the halacha falls like Rav Lazar in the area of Get. V'Rabbeinu Habikim Bedavar Halacha Mishum Rabbeinu Amru Halachik Rav Lazar Begin. Once again, more Piske Halacha by the Amoraim. The Amar of Chama Berguri Amar of Halachik Rav Lazar Begitin. Now Iged Amar V'Chavreinu Habikim Bedavar Halacha V'Tamid Rabbeinu Mishum Rabbeinu. Amar halachik Rav Elazar begitin. The Amar of Chista, Amar Rav Chama Bar Gurya, Amar Rav halachik Rav Elazar begitin. I know. V'chein ki asa Rav and Amar Rav halachik Rav Elazar begitin. So the Gemara quoted a number of Amoraim who are all in agreement that the halacha falls like Rav Elazar when it comes to get. It certainly you walk away from the Gemara. The Gemara is a little repetitive, but you walk away from the Gemara certainly acknowledging that most of the Amoraim, I think every one of them says that when it comes to get, the halacha falls like Rav Elazar. The only question, which you know is kind of open ended, is does the halacha fall like Rav Elazar when it comes to other stars as well? When it comes to Shtari Mamon, so that you can wonder from the Gemara's perspective, is that as unanimous as the halacha being like Rav Elazar when it comes to get? Peivav Amud Beis. We're starting now the Mishnah. We're towards the bottom of the Amud. Shtaim Shashachu Shnei Gittin Shavim V'Nesarvnu V'Nesarvo. Okay, a really unlikely case the Mishnah here is discussing, and the case is obviously important, but the principles and the concepts behind it obviously are going to be to us more relevant. Let's say you have two Gittin which are being curried, and the two gittin are identical. Okay, the husband's name is the same on these two gittin, and the wife's name is the same on the two gittin. And if that's true, so one can easily imagine, one can easily imagine that now there's confusion. Because now as the courier, as the shliach is bringing the get over, so he takes out the two gittin, and he looks at the two gittin, and he was now wondering, which one belongs to which? I don't remember. And he doesn't know. And their Nisarvin is a Tyrovis. And now it's a mixture of these two Gittin, and there's nothing that's going to help him identify which get belongs to, is coming from which husband to which wife. Okay. What do we have right now? We have a significant problem in Lishma. Right. We know that in order for a get to be a valid get, it has to be written Lishma from this man to this woman. But now, as the Shliach now is presenting the get, he doesn't know which get is being given from which husband to which woman. What does he do? Shnayim shashachu shnei gittim shavim v'nisarvu nosem shneim lazu u'shneim lazu. So what he'll do is he'll go to each woman and he'll give the two gittin to each of the women. Now, obviously, in order to facilitate that, what you're going to have to do, obviously, is after you give it, you're going to have to take it back. Which, by the way, bizmaninu, that's what we do. The husband or the shliach gives the get to the wife, and then the beis din takes it back, and they give her a receipt. And okay, in other words, once the get's given to her, that effectuates the divorce. She doesn't have to hold on to it. It's not like a ksuva. For a woman to be married, she has to have the ksuva, not obviously in hand, but in property and possession. That's not true by get. So the get is the vehicle for divorce, but it doesn't have to be there in order for the divorce to perpetuate. So that's what she'll do. I'm sorry, that's what the shliach will do. They'll hand each one of the women both gittin. Both gittin at the same time, one after another. A discussion. Right? Yes, matar menach shachter. Yes. Both gittin at the same time, one right after the other. A discussion in the Shulchan Aruch. Let's continue. Lefichach. Avad echad mehem hare hasheni bato. Now the problem is that if one of the gittin are lost, so now you don't know whether this get is coming from this man to this woman, and so therefore that presents a problem. Chamisha shekasvu chlal besocha get each ploni megarish plonis uploni plonis va'edim alamata kulan ksherim v'inasin lechol achas va'achas. It's an extraordinarily unusual circumstance where basically it's one long paper, and on this one long paper you have multiple gittin. The Mishnah says as long as they're kolel, as long as they are generalized together, and we will define a little bit later on exactly what that means. So the Mishnah then goes on to say, as the signatures on the bottom are going on every one of the gittin. Hayakosef tofes achol echa ve'echa ve'edim alamata, esha edim nikrim imokasha. If, however, they are individualized on the same paper, but individualized, and again, we'll define what that means in just a moment. So then I've got five gittin on the same page. I have one set of witnesses on the bottom. And because they are individualized, so then the only get that's valid is the last one, the one that is most within proximity of the witnesses. But the witnesses are not going to go on the one above that, and certainly not on the ones above that as well. Question is very simple. Man, well, the number of questions. We're going back to the beginning of the Mishnah. We're learning the Mishnah now, Kesedah. Man Tanam Rav Yirmiya Deloka Rav Elazar. Our Mishnah is not following like Rav Elazar. De'i Rav Elazar Kim Damra Eidim Mesir Karte Halo Yade Bahami Nayu Kamigarsha. If our Mishnah were going like Rav Elazar, again, let's go back to the first case. Let's refresh. The first case is where there is there are two men of the same name divorcing their wives who happen to also share the same name. And so each one of them handed their get to the shliach. The shliach, now the courier, is bringing the get over, but does not remember whose get belongs to whom. So the Mishnah says the solution will be, he'll just give both gittin to each one of the women. The Gemara now is commenting and saying that if that were the case, and if our Mishnah were going like Rav Elazar, Rav Elazar would be happy neither time. Neither for the first woman nor for the second woman. Why? Because again, we know, this yesterday's daf, today's daf, we know that according to Rav Elazar, Eide Mesira or Kares. So that means now, as Rashi explains, if Eide Mesira or Kares, so that means that the Lashma has to go on the delivery. And every time you're handing the get over to her, you don't know whether or not this is the get for her. See, according to Rab Meir, so you're good. Because the Lishma is going on the Chasima, which was done Bekashrus. On the delivery, okay, delivery is part of the process, but there's no Lishma requirement for the delivery. Well, according to Rav Elazar, the Lishma has to be going on the delivery because the Eide Mesira or Kares.
But you know for sure she's getting right. The act.
That's great. And you're right, but there's no lishma, meaning there has to be an intent involved in that as well. And as she's receiving this piece of paper, she does not know if this paper is going to affect the divorce. One of them for sure is, but you on each.
The other one is nothing.
You don't know which one. And the
this makes it very easy for the husband to challenge. The husband could show and say, "I didn't sign this."
But the Gemara's not even attacking it from a challenge perspective. The Gemara's attacking it from the fundamental position of you don't know which, when you're handing over the paper, you don't know whether this is the get and the Eidim Asira Kares. So halayad behuminayu kamigasha. Abaye Amar filo tamer Rav Elazar. So the Gemara says, no, I can make the argument that our Mishnah and the author of our Mishnah is Rav Elazar. And you can say, and how could you say that? Ema debai Rav Elazar, k'siv l'shma, nesin l'shma mibaye. Because even according to Rav Elazar, yes, of course there's a requirement of Lishma. We've learned that literally since day one of the Masechta, that there's a Lishma requirement. But even according to Rav Elazar, the Lishma requirement is going on the writing. Right? The Torah says, v'kasav la. Right? You write it for her. On the k'siva, that's lishma. But what Abai is arguing is that according to Rabbi Lazar, there's no lishma requirement on the delivery of the get. Yes, it's true, you need Eide Mesira for the delivery, but you need Eide Mesira, but not necessarily the lishma on the Eide Mesira. So then, if that's true, so then our Mishnah could be going like Rabbi Lazar as well. Chamisha shekasu klal, hechidame klal, hechidame tofes. Okay, we know what our Mishnah is saying. We just don't know exactly how the Mishnah plays out in an actual visualization. We know the Mishnah is saying that if I have on a long column of paper, I have get five gittin in a row, and on the bottom I have a pair of signatures of witnesses. So if it's kolel, so then the signatures are going on each one of the five. If it's a tofes, if they're individualized, so then the signatures are only going on the last one.
What does kolel mean?
That's exactly the Gemara's question. So the Gemara now wants to know, well, what's the difference between kolel and individualized gittin? It's a simple question. It's going to be a machlokas. Chamisha shekatzu klal v'chule, heichad demiklal, heichad demitofetz, amar Rav Yochanan, zman echad l'kulan, zeo klal. Zman l'chol echad v'echad, zeo tofetz. So Rav Yochanan will tell you the date. The date will be the defining point in terms of whether or not this is one large document, or this is an individualized document. So the Gemara says, now in a moment, if even at this early stage of the Gemara, you can already imagine, if each one of them is dated but with different dates, then you have a more fundamental issue, which is then that these witnesses are signing on. In other words, there's only one pair of witnesses on the bottom. They can't possibly be signing on different dates. In other words, only signing on one day. So the Gemara later on will wonder out loud, well, if every one of them is dated individually, so then it's got to be the same date, which the Gemara later on is going to comment on. Right. But right now we're just looking at what constitutes a singular flow of gittin and what individualizes each one of them. So according to Rav Yochanan, the date. If there's one date heading on for all five of them, that's one flow. If it's individualized dating for each one of them, that's tofes echol echad ve'echad. Okay, that's Rav Yochanan. Reish Lakish Amar, we are now on the top of Pezayin Amad Aleph. Afilu zman echa lekulan, nami have a tofes. Even if it's zman echa lekulan, that's also going to be considered individualized. So now, according to Reish Lakish, how in the world are you going to be having a flow of five consecutive gittin on one piece of paper? Elahech edami klal, because of anu, ploni uploni, gerashnu nishoseim, ploni uplonis. You're going to start, the document is going to start off with the following heading. It's very unusual. But it's going to start off with the following heading. We, the following men, and then each one of them is labeled, are divorcing our wives, the following women. And then each one of the women are going to be named. So Maskev Rav Abba Bar Yochanan Damer Zman Echa Lekulan Zeu Klal Lechus Jema Ki Chasma Sahade Abbasaru Dechasna. The Gemara says, okay, so what? When you have witnesses signing on the bottom of a document, so what ends up happening is that they're always signing on the most recent thing which is being stated. So Milo Tanya Edim Chasim Amal Shelo Shalom Beged Pasul. So the Chashin Shamal Shelo Shalom Chasmu. So the Gemara says, imagine the following circumstance, and this is unusual. Let's say you have a get, and the regular format of a get is being written on a piece of paper. And then, before the witness is signed in, so then he puts in a small message of, and I hope you're doing really well. And then witnesses... Oh, by the way, I was trying to be slightly comedic, but I didn't mean to add "and." I strike that from the record. Okay? I hope you'll see why. I hope you're doing really well. And then you have witnesses signing on the bottom. The Brisa says that now the get's not going to be good, because when you have witnesses signing on a separate point, and if that's the last point that was made on the document, their signature is going on that and that alone. Now, generally speaking, a greeting does not need certification. Although we're in the political season right now, and you see every candidate signing a message.
I approve.
So fine. So the okay. So greetings, and then the signatures, signing, and he approves the greeting. But anyway, but the point is that when you have a string of points on a document, and then at the end you have signatures signing on it, it's only going on the most recent. It's not going on anything above that. So according to Reish Lakish, even if you start off your heading with, we, the undersigned, are divorcing our wives, the undersigned. Or not, I didn't mean undersigned. We, the husbands, state your name, are divorcing our wives, name stated. But even if that's true, once you finally get to the last part of the get, you're going to be specifying somebody, and then you're going to have witnesses signing on the bottom, and aren't those witnesses essentially signing only on the most recent thing that's written in the document? That's essentially the Gemara's question. So, I'm sorry, just give me a moment. Let's just finish, and you'll... Maybe the answers will be. If you have the question afterwards, I'll, you know, we'll address. So lavit malah amar Rabbi Abba ledidi mefarshle minei de Rav Yochanan shalu pasu vishalu kasha hachinami deksiv be ploni uploni uploni ploni uploni uploni. So the Gemara says. The difference is going to be the following, and that's why when I initially presented it, I took out the word "and," because it's true. When you have witnesses signing on the bottom of the document, they are signing on the most recent on the most recent paragraph, on the last thing that was written in the document. However, if there is a conjunction stringing together the paragraph, together with the previous paragraph, together with the previous paragraph, and the conjunction is avav a chibur, so then you know that their signature is going on everything, as there is a conjunction putting together, stitching together all the points made in the document. So according to Reish Lakish, you have to start off with the larger heading of, we are going to divorce our wives, so you know now that there's this get is going to be a get for multiple people, plus now you're going to have an and combining all the different paragraphs together. Then you have the witnesses signing on the bottom. Then, according to Reish Lakish, and only then, is the get going to be for all five of them.
Okay. Well, nothing to worry about when you list a man and a woman. How do you know there's this man and this woman? Why don't we have faith on that? How do you know that, you know, number one man, number one woman, number two man, number...
Well, but then the get is going to articulate. In other words, then the get's going to write a toface for each one of them after that. Yes, I do understand. Meaning you're suggesting in the first paragraph where it's a group, a list of men and a list of women, and we're going to do the match. But what I'm telling you is that, at least my understanding, and it may not be correct, but my understanding is that after that, you're then also writing a toface for each one of them, with a conjunction, with an and, with a vavachibur, combining the two. Okay. Vesula Rav Yochanan Damer Zman Lecholecha Zeu Tofes My Yiri Mishum Tofes V'Tepik Le Davale Nechtam Yom Nechtam Nechtam Yom Nechtam Alayla. The Gemara now is asking the question which I foreshadowed a little bit earlier, and that is, according to Rav Yochanan, aren't we concerned that, well, more than concerned, wouldn't it be the case that if there are multiple dates on the document, because remember, according to Rav Yochanan, dates are what's separating one from the other. So according to Rav Yochanan, if there are different dates, how can you have a signature be applicable to different dates? It's only one pair of signatures on the bottom. That could only be effective for one date, not multiple dates. So Amalei Mar Kishisha Brei Rav Chisda Rav Ashi Achi Aminah Mishmei Rav Yochanan Dichtiv Behu Bechad B'Shaba Bechad B'Shaba. The dates of each one of them is the same date. It's just that you need the date to be written in them, according to Rav Yochanan, to break it up, to individualize. Okay. Amalei Rav Ravina Rav Ashi L'Reish Lakish Damar Zman Echa L'Kulam Nami Tofes Havei V'Echida Miklal Dichtiv Bei Hachu Anu Ploni Uploni Gerashna Nishosenu Ploni Uplonis Nimsu Shtei Nashim Miskarshos Beget Echa V'Tor Amra V'Kasav La V'Lo La Ulechaverta. So the Gemara says, oh, this is okay, this is where I got it from. Okay, anyway. Okay, good. Anyway, Gemara's question is very simple, according to Reish Lakish. Right now, Phil, just to explain this a little bit better, the Gemara is thinking like you. Meaning the Gemara is thinking that it's one paragraph where we are going to be divorcing our wives. And so the question the Gemara is asking now is very simple. One document per divorce. When you write a toface, it's one man, one woman, and you can't use a single toface so that two men can be divorcing both their wives. So the Gemara says, the Adakas of Ploni Gerash Plonis, Uploni Gerash Plonis. So the Gemara says that even though it's one paper, it's going to be, each one is going to get their own paragraph. Okay. Amle Ravina Ravashi Umaishna Mahaditanya Kosta Konachas of Lishne Avadav Kanu Meshachrin Zedza Valavu Kivna Bishesh Taros. So I'm sorry, that's already the answer. The Gemara's question is as follows. We learned earlier. Let's say the owner of two slaves. Now remember the Gzera Shava, which always connects the Get Isha and the Shikhar Evid. Okay, we've discussed this already multiple times. So Gemara over here wonders, we had this case earlier in the Mestachta. You had an owner write over all of his possessions to his two slaves. Each one of them now is a 50% shareholder in the entire estate. which means, oddly enough, that each one of them owns half of themselves and half of the other guy, which is fine. Each one of them is just simply going to be writing a shtar shechra for each other. That's the solution. But what comes out now is that a single document is providing emancipation for two Eved Kenani. And, like we just said, you can't do that. No, you can't do that by Gedisha. And the assumption is, if you can't do that by Gedisha, you cannot do that by by Shechra as well. So the Gemara says, yeah, okay, and that would be fine. And we'll just simply say that the Ukimta over there is that it's Shtei Shtaros. It was done with two documents. Okay, and just to wrap up this discussion now, so once again, a very strange circumstance where you have a long column of paper. You have now five gittin. Sometimes the witnesses, the only one pair of witnesses signing on the bottom. Sometimes they're going and signing on everything. And sometimes they're only signing on the most recent, on the last thing that was mentioned in the document. Kolol versus individualized. And then a machlokes between Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish, how to define kolol and how to define individualized. And basically now from here until the next mishnah on the bottom of the Amud, we're going to quote Braisa supporting each position. Meaning that this machlokes is between Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish in terms of the definition of kolol versus prat, is going to be expressed in various brises. Tanya Kavasa de Rav Yochanan, Tanya Kavasa de Reish Lakish, Tanya Kavasa de Rav Yochanan. Let's begin our brises supporting Rav Yochanan. Chamisha Shakasu Besoch Haget. Ish Ploni, Megarish Ploni, Suploni, Ploni, Suploni, Ploni, Vizman Echad Lekulam. One date. Vahaidim Alamatakulam Ksherim. Bitanasan Lechol Achas Achas. So then it's kosher for everyone. Obviously, there has to be an asina for each one of the wives. So you're basically going to take the document, hand to the first wife, take it back, hand to the second wife, etc., etc. What you see clearly in the Braisa is, what is the unification of all these documents? The fact that there's one date. Now the Braisa says that if it's a date for each one, a date for each one individualizes each one, and therefore the signatures are going only on the last one. Rav Yehuda ben Beser Omer im yesh revach meineim pasul v'imlav kasher she'ein zman mafzikan. So Rav Yehuda ben Beser is of the opinion that if there's a space between them, it would be pasul, and if not, it would be kasher, and the zman is not going to separate. Okay, Tanya Kavas is Reish Lakish, and here's the brisa that supports Reish Lakish. Chamisha Shekasvu, Klal B'soch Haget, Anu, Ploni, Uploni Gerash, Nishosen, Ploni Uplonis, Ploni Gerash Plonis, Ploni Gerash Plonis, Uzman Echal Kulam, Va'edim Malamata, Kulan Ksherim, V'tinasin L'chol, Achas V'achas. Okay, this brisa clearly supports Reish Lakish, where the opening paragraph says, we, the following men, are going to divorce our wives, the following women. So, and that, and only that, is going to create a klal, only a generalized get that serves multiple husbands and wives. Zman l'chol echav echad, v'rav l'chol echav echad, v'edim alamata, etche edim nekraim imo kasher. However, if you do not have that opening paragraph, and it's just simply a tofes for each one, the witnesses signing on the bottom are only going to be on the most recent. Reb Meir Omer, alfa pishein revach b'neim pasol, shazman mafzikan. And in this braisa, Reb Meir says that even if there's no space between toe-face to toe-face, but is as long as there is each one of them is dated, the dating is going to separate each one of them. So the Gemara says, now according to Reish Lakish, even if you don't have individualized dating, there's still, as long as you're missing that opening paragraph, which is collectively putting everyone together, so then it's considered individualized. So the Gemara says, yeah, according to Reish Lakish, if you have the opening paragraph which collectively puts everyone together, so then if there's one date, they're all collected together. If there are multiple dates, so then the dating, each date is going to separate each one from the other.
In terms of multiple dates, does it matter if they're all the same date or not?
Well, the problem is if they're not all the same date, then you have a separate issue, which is that the witnesses signing are not signing on the day in which it was dated, and that creates an internal problem in the get. Okay, we start now the next mishnah. We're on Pezayin Amud Aleph, towards the bottom of the on the Amud. I assume we go like Rav Yochanan. Generally speaking, halachi Rav Yochanan. Okay, the shnei gittim shekasun zeh betzad zeh u shnayim edem av ivrim. Ba'im mitachadzeh letachadzeh Ushnaim edim yevanem Ba'im mitachadzeh letachadzeh. Now, if you have a picture over here, picture here is going to be worth more than 1,000 words. Basically, what you have is you have two gittin on one piece of paper. They are side by side. They are two columns side by side. Okay. And then what you have is you have witnesses signing on the bottom, and you have two pairs of witnesses signing on the bottom. A set of Hebrew-speaking Jewish people. That's strange, I know. But Hebrew-speaking Jewish people are signing the first two signatures. And then you have Greek-speaking Edim signing the next two signatures. Right? And Bizman HaMishnah, that is not... And now, when each one of them is signing, they are going to be spanning the entire page from one end of the margin to the other end of the margin. Now, Rashi over here makes it more complicated than it already is, but and the Rambam here makes it a little bit easier. But the truth of the matter is that they're, even though they're attacking the issue from literally from different sides, but they're both it both results in the same basic point. Okay, when you have the first set of witnesses signing on the document, so they're starting from right to left because they're Hebrew speaking. And they're writing in Hebrew. And they're going from right to left. So really, effectively, their name, right? I'll go with my name, Dov Gedalia. So their name is going to now be under the right-hand column. And then when they write Ben, in my case, Ben Mayer, so that Ben Mayer is going to be going under the left-hand column. So really, my name is under the right-hand column. Now, Ben Mayer, which is the son of Mayer, is on the left-hand column, but that just is who I'm the son of. That's not my name. Later, the Gemara is going to wonder, you know, you can sign a document by writing, you are the son of so-and-so. And that is a valid way of identifying who you are. So shouldn't that be okay? The Gemara later on is going to ask that question. But right now, let's just keep it simple, that my name is going under the first column, and then the rest of my signature is going under the second column. And the same thing is true with the second signature as well. So, the problem now is that those two signatures who are signing immediately under the two columns, are only, their names are only under the right-hand column. Now you have the next two signatures. The next two signatures are writing in Greek. I'll say it's simple, even though it's not Rashi's pshat, and generally speaking, when presenting the Gemara, I usually prefer to say Rashi, but over here it's just easier to say it. Greek is going from left to right. And so now when you have the next signature, signature 3 and 4, so their name is under the left-hand column and not under the right-hand column. And just in case you're curious, I mean, first of all, you can read the Rashi, but in case you're curious, Rashi says that the Greek is also being written from right to left. Okay, obviously there's an issue of, you know, the fact-checking, but the way Rashi expresses it is that they're not following Greek lettering, they're following the Greek custom of first writing your father's name and then writing your name. So effectively, it comes out to be the same point, according to Rashi, is that the signature 3 and 4, their name is on the left-hand column, not under the right-hand column. Okay, but the point is essentially the same. So signatures 1 and 2, their name is under the right-hand column. Signature 3 and 4, their names are under the left-hand column. The Mishnah says, Etche Edom HaRishon Nekreim HaMokasher. So now, under these circumstances, only the right-hand column is going to be kosher. The get of the right-hand column, because only the signatures of the 1 and 2 are directly underneath it. Signatures 3 and 4, the problem is, they're not directly under the left-hand column. They're being separated by signatures 1 and 2. Okay, if I'm doing a good job, hopefully, visualizing what's happening over here. So, Eid echad ivri ve'ed echad yavani ve'ed echad ivri ve'ed echad yavani by mitachazel atachazel shneim psulim. If let's say we alternate and we go ivri yavani, signature 1 Jew, signature 2 Greek, not Jew, everyone here is Jewish. Signature 1 Hebrew, signature 2 Greek, signature 1 Hebrew. I'm sorry, signature 3 Hebrew, signature 4 Greek. So the Mishnah says everything here is going to be pasul. Why that should be? So there is a picture in Rashi, because this case is even more complicated than the previous case. Truth of the matter is, nothing's complicated over here. It's just a question of being able to communicate a visualization based on the Mishnah's description. If you saw the picture, truth of the matter is, you would get it. Okay. So, one second. V'lizkasher hai b'Reuven v'hai b'ben Yaakov aid dehatanan ben Ishponi aid kasher. So the Gemara's question over here is very simple. If I'm signing my name, and I put under the right-hand column, Dov Gedalia, and I put under the left-hand column, Ben Meir, so shouldn't that, both of them are proper ways of identifying myself. And shouldn't that work for both right and left-hand column? So the Gemara says, Dekas of Reuven, Ben Akama, V'Yakov Eid Abasra. So the Gemara says, well, the Mishnah here is talking about a very specific scenario where I put under the first column, Dov Gedalia, Ben, and then under the second column, Meir. And that's not my name. I am Ben Meir, but I'm not Meir. So the Gemara says, V'lizkasher hai b'Reuven Ben, V'lizkasher hai b'Yaakov Eid. So the Gemara says, well, shouldn't still that be kasher under both columns? Da'atanan, because we learned in the Mishnah. Ish boni eid kasher. So if you just simply write a name, it would be kasher. Delo kasav eid. So the Gemara says, well, you didn't write the word eid at the end. V'ibayzema, lo'olam dekasav eid, udi adina b'hai chasima delav Yaakovu. The Gemara says, or very simply, look, I can't identify myself as Meir because I'm not. I'm the son of Meir. And I can't just simply write my name Meir and be called and use that as my name when people know that that's not true. V'dilma, just top of the next Amud, b'shma d'avua chasim, lo shavik inishmei v'chasim shma d'avua. Gemara says, and you know that people don't use their father's name as their signature. V'dilma simana shavya. Gemara says, you ever see people's signatures? It's a scribble. Sometimes it's a picture. And this is not a new phenomena. We saw this already in the Masechta. Rav Tzairi Kavar, Rav, when he would sign just a picture of a fish. Rabbi Chanina Chavarta, Rav Chista Samich, Rav Oshia Ayin, Rav Abba Rav Chana, Tzairi Makusa. So the Gemara says, Lo Chatzif Inish L'Shavi L'Shma Davua Simana V'Liz Kasher. So the Gemara says, very simple. Gemara says, people, even though will have pictures representing themselves, people will not represent themselves with the name of their father. That the Gemara calls that chutzpah. That just simply, it's not proper, it's not appropriate. Okay. Let's pause over here. Okay, well, tomorrow we'll pick it up.